Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This is the Friday of the week, and I'm hoping that everybody will be able to survive without a bunch of news and drama this coming weekend. It is the weekend before the general election, which means that the drama just goes to the highest or most intense level possible. So with that, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that will provide you with the constitutional process in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. You may find lots of entertainment and nice, witty comments on other shows, but this show, we actually provide educational and academic as well as empirical data that proves my assertion that we can actually get the federal government back into scope of the Constitution. And so with that, I know I've been telling you I had a sore throat all week. My wife was diagnosed with strep, and she doesn't have tonsils. And so everybody can, well, really? And we've gotten strep a lot, to a point where we no longer get a high fever anymore, but you swab us and we will, both of us, because she gets it and she's prone to get it and I get it. And then the doctors, just like in the old days, or actually, before now, before Obamacare, we used to, she would go get it or I would go get the swab, and then we would both get inoculated with antibiotics because we both get it. She gets it, and you never know when you've got it, and especially when you have the symptoms suppressed or what have you. Anyway, long story short, we're now at that point where we both have to take the time to go get swabbed so that they can prove, oh, interesting, you get it all the time and you don't have your tonsils. And so anyway, I finally discovered, I confirmed the fact that we have been suffering from the scarlet fever, because that's what strep will turn into if you don't take care of it. So that's one of the reasons why I've had lozenges and such in my throat. And I really thank you for indulging, or at least understanding the fact that sometimes you have to have that just to survive, especially when you've got medical problems or stricken or what have you. But anyway, let me move forward. If you haven't checked out the GoFundMe campaign, please do. We do have a need for some money, and that money that we need is literally to help fund just a trip to go videotape a presentation that we're giving to a very important group of people that I believe will be the leaders, like Thomas Jefferson, in the reframing of our Constitutional Republic. That's where these people are standing, and I truly believe that they're ground zero of the revolution, or I shouldn't even say the revolution, the reformation of our Constitutional Republic. So check it out. And if you can contribute, I'd greatly appreciate it. It would be at GoFundMe.com, and it would be Reclaiming the Republic, as the show entitled. And so, of course, we try to keep things simple for everybody. Let me do a little bit of groveling, and there's plenty of news to go through. But what I want to do is give you a couple of Federalist Paper quotes to cogitate or ruminate on over the weekend, as well as something else I want you to think about. But before I do, again, if you have some time, if you have a computer and a phone, you can be weaponized. And we would like to weaponize you in getting you to become a gatherer, collector of information, sorting and, translating or what have you, so that that information can be utilized as we start getting organized. So if you happen to live in any state in this republic, it really doesn't matter. Even if it's a dark blue state, you can get started. Because there is a likelihood that as things move forward, you will be able to probably lead in helping people understand what the heck it is that's going on and why we need to get involved and support Republic Review in moving forward. So again, if you have a computer and have a phone, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and as a matter of fact, it's not an and or, plus, in addition to, moreover, make sure you go to constitutionclub.ning.com and check out your state and your county. Look through the articles and everything else, but make sure you drill into your state and your county. Find out if there's anybody there. If not, shoot, join, become the stakeholder for that county and start bringing people into the county so that you guys can start sharing local information and data and start working together, because this is going to be, I believe, possibly one of the only places that you're going to be able to have communications without having people watching you and without having filtering and so forth. Because, you know, the founder, he's been on here several times or a few times before. He was on yesterday when we were talking about the 14th Amendment. That's Keith Broders. And there is no intent on the Constitution Club in trying to do any data mining, sharing data, or anything else. It's literally created to create a collaborative environment for patriots to fight in protecting and preserving their liberty. So if you're a patriot, that would be the other place you also need to go, okay? So with that, I did go through the news, and there is no sign of the federal government relinquishing any of its tyrannical responsibilities that they have taken on. So what that means, if you don't understand, is that means you and I are going to have to do it. We can't just be continuing to hope and pray it's just going to go away. That has not manifested any results so far. So what that means is we absolutely have to assert some energy and effort in taking back all of those unconstitutional roles and responsibilities that the federal government has taken. And, well, let me leap right into the Federalist Papers, because I know if I go into the news and I start meandering and or what have you, I'm going to run out of time. And it's more important that I give you a few short little Federalist Paper quotes from Madison that I believe will help you, you know, help kind of give you some grounding for this weekend as you start understanding and thinking about, you know, how is this news information I'm looking at, how does this relate into the Constitution in that perspective? Because that's what we try to do with this show, is we try to at least give you that perspective and or marketing of just how bad things are getting, and we've just got to pull these things back. So the first one is Federalist Paper number 14. And this is James Madison, and he basically this is his quote. In the first place, it is to be remembered that the general government is not to be charged with the whole power of making and administering law. Its jurisdiction is limited to certain enumerated objects. Keyword there, jurisdiction. That means the federal court is even limited to the certain enumerated objects, which concern all the members of the Republic, but which are not to be attained by the separate provisions of any. So, let me also give you another Madison Federalist Paper, number 40. And this starts off, this is really a short one. We have seen in the new government as the old, and as you know, the old government was the Articles of Confederation. And he says, we have seen in the new government as in the old, the general powers are limited, and that the states are in all unenumerated cases are left in the enjoyment of their sovereign and independent, keyword again, jurisdiction. So if it is not enumerated, the states have independent and sovereign jurisdiction over all things. So when we talk about healthcare, when you hear healthcare in the news and the federal government is doing this and this and this, keep it in context that they have no jurisdiction over that. that that's your state that's supposed to be in control of what's best for you. You shouldn't have to get in your car, drive across the country, or drive how far ever it is to go to D.C. and try to fight the swamp in getting you your day in front of your representative to say, why are you doing this to me? That's why your focus needs to be back to the states and say, why are you letting them do this? The third Federalist paper is Federalist paper number 45, or it's out of, it's just a small quote from it. And this is what Madison says. He says, the state government will have the advantage of the federal government, whether we compare them in respect to the immediate dependence of one on the other, to the weight of personal influence which each side will possess. So in other words, there is dependence. And he's basically saying right here that the states are not dependent on the federal government, that the federal government is dependent on the states. How did that get turned around? Well, it's called allowing them to create debt and allowing them to buy the states' loyalties and make them dependent on the teat. Let's cut the teat off. So let me move forward. And he also says, on the other, to the weight of personal influence which each will possess, each side will possess. That means that the state government should have greater influence over those citizens in their state, period. And if they're not, then the people that are in that state probably aren't true citizens, because if they're asking for a federal government to basically overpower or have greater sovereignty over them, then they're either communists or they're infiltrators from some other foreign state. We have to go. We will be right back. So please stay tuned, and I have more for you. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614. Or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614, or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so while I'm waiting for my antibiotics to be filled and so I can become normal and walk around society, I have to, again, forgive me for using lozenges, but let me also, before I go back to the Federalist paper I'm trying to get through, I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this weekend. And as a matter of fact, I hope that these things start ringing as you're listening to these candidates ratchet up their rhetoric and their demagoguery moving into the election. as I pointed out, and I'm just going to skim over this again, the very first Federalist paper in 14 clearly identified that the federal government's jurisdiction is limited to those enumerated objects. Federalist paper number 40, that little snippet or quote I gave you, identifies that there is an independent and, I should say, an unlimited jurisdiction for the sovereignty of the states on all things unenumerated, not listed in the Constitution. And so in this third Federalist paper, the state government will have the advantage of the federal government, as I said before, whether we compare them to or in respect to the immediate dependence. In other words, they need the states to provide taxes and so forth, not to create debt and ensconce them with enslavement of that debt. And then also to the weight of personal influence, which each side will possess, but to the powers respectively vested in them, to the predilection and probable support of the people, to the disposition and faculty of resisting and frustrating measures of each other. So the states should have the advantage. Why do you believe that the communists or the Democrats are trying to give away citizenship to all of these illegals and all of these people that are trying to literally come here and get onto the teat? Because these people are willing to throw the rest of America under the bus and actually willing to even collapse it as long as it can suckle at the teat for as how long the cow will last, or how long this cash cow, I should say, will last. That's the metaphor. So they're very, very insidious, they're nefarious, and they're pernicious in what they're trying to do. Their machinations are to destroy our republic. That's why I wanted to bring up yesterday the 14th Amendment and the Section 3 and Section 4 when it talks about people who are trying to do rebellious things to this government. Keep that in mind. If you haven't read the Tory Act of January 2nd, 1776, you may want to, because I think you need to start understanding what we may have to do just to clean house so that we can take back our republic and start living under the guises of liberty and under the pretenses of our founding documents. If we are not doing that, then we are slowly on the death trail or that death march into slavery. So that's something to think about. Those few Federalist Papers, I think you might be able to benefit and ruminate on that. So the other thing I wanted to think about, get you to think about, is that little line that I've used before, the ends justify the means. Now, there's some interesting and informational news that I want to share with you, but just keep this in mind. The end justifies the means, and that is the that's the chant, that's the mantra of the communists, the Democrats. The end justifies the means, and that's why they're willing to turn a blind eye in hypocrisy to their own folks when they say all sorts of racist things, they do harmful things and what have you. That's okay. It's okay for them because the end justifies the means. But if it's a conservative, somebody holding up the Constitution, we must crucify and scorch the earth that they stand on so that we have pure sterility and we've sterilized that evil thing that they were, in their mind, it's evil. And they literally want to remove the thoughts and concepts of individual liberty. So first thing I want you to think about, because as I gave you the tribute to John McCain last week, I just wanted to put it in perspective. Arizona has reelected an enemy to our Constitution and our republic in John McCain for a very long time. In other words, Senator John McCain was a Democrat or a communist in sheep's clothing. Will Arizona, as this hyperbole keeps ratcheting up, will Arizona elect an outright Democrat this year? And if that's the case, if they elect an outright Democrat, that means they are selecting a communist, somebody that is willing to move this nation based on the party line, because the Democrats vote the party line. They may seem really nice, and they may not seem like a communist, but they vote the party line, and they will move us into that direction. And so the question is, what is the outcome? We're going to find out Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, or Wednesday afternoon when I talk about it. But bottom line, that's the big question. And to me, this is very troubling. Why? Because Arizona is a national defense state. It happens to be on the very border of an enemy. Remember that piece I read earlier this week from that guy that left that Eastern University, went down to Mexico, and that was in the Billy Graham letter that it was called a call to commitment. And he clearly identified going down there that the communists were hard at work, and he went down to work with them in Mexico. That was back in the 50s. I am telling you that the communists, they didn't just evaporate. What happened? Why is it that we're not talking about the communists anymore? They have done the greatest thing. It's just like the best lie Satan can ever tell you is that he doesn't exist. Because if you believe that, then he will get you to believe everything else. And it's the same thing with this communist thing. The reason we no longer talk about communism, because one, we don't recognize the threat, or too many people don't recognize the threat, and they've actually been able to permeate and penetrate our society and all the rest of society to a degree that, you know, it's just like, well, no, that's the Democrats, right? No, that's the communists. The Democrats were taken over by the communists a long, long time ago. And so as I go on this little mantra of the ends justify the means, I'm not sure if you heard about this, but each time you happen to hear and or see and or witness people who oppose liberty and you see them act out in a way that would just not be acceptable for a good liberty-loving Republican, just remember the end justifies the means, because Alec Baldwin, Mr. Anti-Liberty himself, has been charged with a misdemeanor assault and harassment following his arrest Friday afternoon after he got into a fisticuffs with a man in New York City in a ritzy West Village neighborhood. And the law enforcement basically had to haul him away. But I mean, he literally punched this guy and went to violent terms. And I'm telling you that his mind model is the ends justify the means. And so, and you can hear that and you can see that, that emboldened entitlement in these progressives. Something else to think about. And this is kind of scary as well. An Idaho elementary school came under fire this week after a bunch of staff members dressed as a border wall as a part of their Halloween costume. And on each of the front ends of their costume, little segments of boards and so forth that they had, each of them had one word that basically made out, "Make America Great Again." And there was a couple of end caps to that. So there's a total of 6 people, I think, in the photo. And so the superintendent of the school, and his name is Josh Middleton. And, oh, by the way, the name of the school district is Middleton School District. I wonder if there's a relationship there. I wonder if we kind of have aristocracies going on in some of these little pockets and vestiges around our republic, because this is not a coincidence that Josh Middleton, the superintendent of the Middleton School District, right? That can't be a coincidence. Anyway, he said he was shown the photographs and he felt that he was troubled that the staff made this type of decision and used those types of costumes. He wasn't necessarily coming out and saying that they were, you know, completely wrong, but he basically said that clearly they were insensitive and inappropriate, and he wants to say that they're better than this. But the thing is that he's completely kowtowing to, and the fact of the matter is, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. We have to start guarding with jealousy our liberty of being able to say things. I don't care if it's at school. We have to ratchet down our sensitivity. We have to get sandpaper out and start sanding our skin so that we become a little thick-skinned, so that when somebody says something like "Make America Great Again," or whether, and I'm not talking, it's not like they were being disparaging or anything else. They're talking about fundamental sovereignty. When you're talking about having security for your nation, let's put it in this context. How many of you have locks on your homes? How many of you have locks on your doors, on your car? How many have locks in their lockers at the gym that they may go to and subscribe to, or what have you? You have locks throughout your life. Why? Why do we have walls? Why do we have security? Why do we? Because when we make it too easy, somebody will reach right in and grab a hold and take something from you. So we don't want to make thieves out of anybody. So we kind of create these barriers so that they can't become the thief. Because who's culpable when we allow them direct access to stealing? We are. So I'm going to follow this up when we come back. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back with some more things to think about. I'll be right back. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So we are culpable if we happen to leave our stuff outside. You know, if you leave your purse on a bench, then apparently somebody becomes too tempted that they may actually want to steal that. And I'm being sarcastic. We should actually expect the appropriate behavior from all people. We should expect people to recognize and respect the laws. You know, as much as I abhorred slavery, and as much as I, you know, go into, you know, the history and those types of things on about slavery, I want you to understand that many of the nations of Europe on the northern side of it did not have slaves, like the Dutch and so forth. They were abhorred by slavery. They looked at the practice of slavery as just absolutely evil. And so what did they do when people traveled there from Americas or from some parts of Europe and or Asia or what have you, and they showed up with their slaves? Did they say, well, you can't come here because we abhor slavery? No, they recognized that that was a law and an acceptable norm of that society, and they respected that. That was, I think, a good example of the epitome of civil behavior, because when you recognize that somebody else is exercising a legal right that is a part of the land or the government that they are subject to, then that's what you would expect. You can't enforce your laws upon them and change their paradigms. So that's about the civil and most liberal-minded thinking that one can think of. Now, there's this other adage that we're all familiar with, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? So if you've got slaves and you're going to a nation that has no slaves back in the 1700s and so, late 1700s, it would make sense that you would not take your slaves there. Either way, the point is getting back to this school issue with these teachers deciding to dress up and making a statement. That is, and I just want to say, that is the that is what being American is all about, making statements. Whether somebody gets offended or not, you shouldn't. If you get offended, then you need to figure out how to desensitize yourself, because political speech needs to be defended to the nth degree. Political speech, political actions need to be taken down and arrested, as basically, as Madison said, we have to arrest the evil of evil political action. So when it comes to people coming into America and demanding, you know, access and citizenship and all of this, that is absolutely illegal. It's a violation of our rule of law, and that's why it is paramount that we uphold the law and arrest these people, arrest those types of people that want to say, let it happen, let it happen, let it happen. I am telling you that there's one thing to say something, and then there's another thing to start demanding and or supporting and actually passing laws. I've said this a few times, and it seems like it's just a moronic thing to say, but why is it that we don't have states passing laws, or why is it there's no law on the book that makes it illegal for somebody, whether they are state legislator, a county commissioner, or even a congressman, to author a bill that would violate the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of a particular state and have them, you know, basically punished, or, you know, go to court. You wrote a bill. This is obviously a violation of the Constitution. That's, you know, like Obamacare. Whoever wrote Obamacare should be arrested. It's a violation of the Constitution, and it's treason. Absolutely usurping those powers, that is treason. And that's the mind model that we have to take in. And it just seems like... Is it that obvious? Have I lost some reality here on this? To me, it's almost like the stating the obvious. It's the elephant in the room. Why is it that nobody else is saying this? Why is it that we have to actually pass a law to do that? I guess that's the absurdity. There's the word. It's the absurdity that we have to pass laws to keep congressmen and legislators, county commissioners, and other forms of sovereigns in check by saying, you know what? If you're going to write a law that is going to violate the Constitution of this great state or the United States, and it actually goes through, then we are going to arrest you, especially if it is proven to be unconstitutional. Because I'll give you a case in point. The city of Spokane wrote a law, and they tried to pass it, and they went and they actually were dragged into court because they tried to pass on their own. They tried to pass a law, an ordinance, to tax railroad cars passing through the city of Spokane, going to the ports in the Seattle area from the interior. So these were probably coming from Montana, Wyoming, New Dakotas, wherever the coal and the oil is coming from. And as they were traversing through Spokane, they were literally trying to charge them. So they wrote a law and started charging the carrier for a tax and punishing the carrier for bringing these through the city of Spokane. Well, that was unconstitutional. Now, had a law been in existence in the state of Washington, then the people that would have wrote that law would have easily been arrested by the sheriff if we had a constitutional sheriff that would uphold the law and go in there and arrest them, and they would be charged and tried for writing legislation that would violate, whether it's city legislation, state legislation, county, it doesn't matter. It's still legislation. It's creating law that is violating the Constitution in itself. In other words, and this goes back to that old conversation that I had a while back with Keith on the 17th Amendment. The fact is that whoever wrote the 17th Amendment wrote an amendment that actually conflicted with the Constitution and the Amendment Protection Clause in Article 5. They basically can't stand. They are in direct conflict with each other. That a state cannot lose its equal suffrage in the Senate without its consent. But the 17th Amendment says that even if you reject it, you will lose it. So which is it? And so that becomes the big problem. And so I truly believe, going back down this path again, that there it may be absurd, but I think we have to start reaching towards some of those absurd concepts so that we can get into some, what I'll just say, some real space to where people will start understanding the magnitude of their job and what they're doing, especially legislators, that they have a big responsibility in preserving the law and not obfuscating it and not undermining it or subverting it. Now, if you haven't heard, I know Chris Wallace is basically stating that President Trump, and I got a question, if is Wallace, because Wallace does not seem like he's really a supporter of liberty and the Constitution. He seems to always have that grind on issues that are supporting those things that are subversive of the Constitution. And so Wallace is coming out and jumping into the fray, Chris Wallace, and he's stating that if President Trump's rhetoric on immigration, if the Democrats win, if they retake the House of Representatives this coming Tuesday, that his rhetoric will be blamed as, and his basically his plan, comprehensive executive order, which actually is supposed to be coming out, I think, next week. He basically says that the establishment and the Republicans will pretty much blame him because they're going to look and say, hey, you drove, you know, the agenda on immigration, and that ended up biting our backside. I don't think so, but I'm just kind of curious as to why Chris Wallace is injecting in this particular side. I mean, it's one thing to kind of say, hey, is this a potential? Is this what he's doing? I don't know, but the question is, did Trump create the caravan? Is that what Chris Wallace is saying? Because Trump is responding. Somebody else had kind of made this an issue where Trump, as the president of the United States, has an obligation to fulfill his oath. And if you look at it, maybe Wallace is assuming that Trump probably did that because he's making that leap. He's making the leap that Trump is making this issue an election issue. No, somebody else happened to start this caravan, and it happened to be at the same time. And is Trump supposed to not do his job? We finally elected a president that seems to be willing to do his job. If he understood it just a little more, if he'd listened to this show, he would no longer be spending as much time in D.C. If he listened to this show, President Trump would be going to every single red state, starting with Wyoming, going to the Dakotas, Utah, and so forth. He'd be pleading with them, pleading with the legislators, pleading with the good citizens of these states to say, please, as the president of the United States, I have to faithfully execute the laws, but only you can take back the Constitution. It is yours. You have the sovereignty. You have the power to do this, and I will support you and protect you because the next person that replaces me may not give you that protect and may come after you, the protection, and may come after you and try to thwart the constitutional preservation that you are trying to do. And so I think if he really wanted to lead, that would be the best case and the best place for him to go down. Because I truly believe that that's what a leader does. A leader puts aside what's in it for them, and they do the right thing, period. So I've got another constitutional spin on it, and this happens to deal with legislation in Washington, D.C., and a huge violation going on right underneath everybody's nose, and nobody's calling them out for it. So, hey, we'll be right back on another real constitutional issue for this election year, and you're going to want to hear it. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back after this. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. My friends, America is under attack. It is under attack by enemies outside that are literally marching this way to do everything they can to subvert us and to continue the cause of communism here in America. We are also under attack by domestic enemies. And I am telling you that what I'm going to tell you, it just amazes me that nobody else is recognizing and reporting this. Those of you who listened, those of you who tuned in on Constitution Day and Week, we went through the Constitution together. So you know, and I talked about this, and you've heard me talk about this in the past, and I'm going to talk about it again today. And this is Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17. And I'm only going to read the part of the Constitution to truly spell out to you what the powers or where the powers of legislation are vested. Per the Constitution, again, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, the Congress shall have the power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases. In other words, there's no exception to this, folks. In all cases whatsoever over the district not exceeding 10 mile square, which is basically describing Washington, D.C., as may by secession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of government. So what I just said is Congress has the exclusive legislative powers over all cases in the District of Columbia. If you didn't know, then I'm going to tell you that Washington, D.C. City Council, those are legislators, they create law, which is in a direct violation of the Constitution, because Congress are the legislators for everything and every part of that physical piece of land, that 10 nautical, or they have, it's not 10 nautical miles. I think it's just 10 miles square. The point being is that the city council has proposed, and it is on the ballot this year, to lower the voting age to 16 for all elections, and they're really targeting 2020 to ensure that D.C. and other states start picking this up and start moving this forward. They're literally trying to undermine our constitutional republic by giving away suffrage to idiots. Remember, Lenin needed useful idiots to get his revolution through. And that's why I keep on pointing to these kids. Now, so there is a standing understanding in law. And if you're a lawyer, you probably go, oh, yeah, that's right. It is typical in wills, and I know this because I've talked to a few and gone through wills myself and just recently worked with my mother on hers. It is typical that children under the age of 25, the money in the estate that is to be given to them goes into trust until they're either 25 or 30. Why is that, my friends? Why is it that it is more prudent to ensure that that money is available to them at the age of 25 or 30 instead of at the age 16, 18, 20? Because even the estate laws recognize that kids are idiots because they have no wisdom. They've been fed and indoctrinated by a very insidious education system. And as I've been telling you on this show, these kids have been literally weaponized and are foaming at the mouth to throw away our liberties because we have this evil vestige called the national education system that is ramming an agenda down their throats in literally convincing them that communism works. Even though history proves, and Ludwig von Mises in his book Socialism, if you go read that book, he proves through that. And it's not just him. Even Aristotle proved to Alexander Alexander the Great, who was the protege for Aristotle, asked, why is it that societies tend to go back to statism or this concept of socialism, that they didn't use that term back then? And Aristotle told him that the reason being is because the society is built on the family unit, and the family unit and the love of the family unit is strong. And they try to extend that into government, where the government becomes the parents. And that is the problem. Government should be just protecting life and liberty and life and property. As Madison put it, life and property are the two main objects for government. Other than that, they start meddling. So the framers understood this, and they clearly got it from Cicero, Aristotle, and all of these great minds. They created a system that was perfect. And in some cases, it was perfect. But I'm telling you that it is still perfect enough to literally clean house. We can actually undo all of these things. And what's going on in D.C., as you hear this in the news, you should be telling everybody that this is a violation of the Constitution. Go read Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17. Only Congress has legislative powers. They never amended the Constitution to give the District of Columbia the ability to create any laws for themselves. And so for them to do that, for them to start injecting laws like these, whether they be banning guns, that was one of the reasons why they started going down this. And the Democrats have been very insidious in moving us down these paths. And it's all about giving people the right to vote. That is how evil democracy is. They know if we can get mob rule and we get enough of these kids in here, we're going to get what we want. And we're going to be able to take control. We're going to be able to shut up these constitutions. We're going to be able to tear that constitution in front of them and say there's nothing you can do about it. Because they happen to have the greatest arsenal of technology and weaponry that government has ever had. And God God bless us if we can actually get through this. And that's why I will just plug it one more time. Go check out the GoFundMe campaign on GoFundMe, Reclaiming the Republic. I would love to get the money we need for this. I would love to have Keith Broders come up and be able to speak and meet with these folks as we start working with them in how they can start getting organized. We need to get Wyoming to be the model. We need a David to stand up in the sea of lemmings, you know, the people that just follow, the little rodents that just follow each other around. They'll run right off a cliff because they're not thinking. We need somebody, and I believe Wyoming is our real shot. Wyoming is our focus because they're receptive. They actually get it. The fact that we're going there and we're going to have this conversation, this is big, friends. This is huge. We're actually going to get a state to actually consider leading, and if we can get your support and getting the right people there and getting these influences, and oh, by the way, if you could help Marty Halverson, I know it's just a couple of days left in the election, we need to get her across. We need to get Chad Christensen across. As these conversations start coming up, I'm going to tell you that people are going to start getting this paradigm broadening or paradigm shift to recognize that they have the power and ability to actually challenge the federal government, that they have the authority in the Constitution, that they can take back everything that has not been delegated. The mind-blowing concepts that the states are actually superior because we've all been taught otherwise. And that is the truth and reality. The Constitution guarantees that the states are superior in all things that are not enumerated, because it clearly states that the federal government is supreme only over those things that are enumerated in Article 6. So I just ask that you consider going to the GoFundMe campaign, Reclaiming the Republic. I will do my best to get that up on my website this week. We have about 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks from today, that we're going to be traveling out there. I would love, and I've got about a week before I have to pull the trigger and basically say, I'm sorry, Keith, we can't bring you because we just don't have the funding. We need to get people there. We're not looking at paying Keith, you know, $1,000 so we can, you know, get a nice car or buying property for anybody. We're not trying to do that. What we're trying to do is get the assistance in fighting this cause, because bottom line, there has to be somebody to help subsidize this, especially if we don't all have the money ourselves to do it all. Can I count on you? I'm hoping so. Let me kind of fly through a couple of other little things. I know that the Democrats are using their insidious and manipulative processes in North Dakota. They're literally telling people, attention hunters, if you vote in North Dakota, you may forfeit hunting licenses you have in other states. This is an absolute lie, but they're doing this to try to discourage hunters from voting because they know hunters tend to be conservative. If you let these evil people continue to come out into the light, they're just becoming more and more emboldened. That's why you can see in the congressional races, we have Sandinista Lisa in Washington trying to unseat CMR. I'll wait till after the election, but bottom line, I've been telling you that there are card-carrying communists in every state and almost in every direction you go. So I hope that you remember these couple of things I've said regarding jurisdiction, as well as the ends justify the means. Ruminate on it. Enjoy your weekend. I will be back on Monday. God bless. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I am G.R. Mobley. We'll be back Monday. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution.
We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.